Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Monday and happy Veterans Day, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is November 11th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We would love to hear your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness. Dr. Rice?
Well, no, this is Dr. Tim.
Thanks for calling in. I'm not sure what's going on. It appears that Michael's here as a host.
Well, somebody's got to be there as a host or we wouldn't be talking, I guess.
You're right.
I tried to call in as a host, but I got your text that said he's already showed up. So welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. And if
Very
Dr.
Good.
Michael Rice, if you're there and talking, we can't hear you. But you can hear me, right, Michelle?
I can. Did you hear my intro?
I did.
Okay, very good. Well, let's go.
Where are we going?
We're
back on the radio.
About
Michael contacted me over the weekend and said he was here, and he must be on and signed in as host, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. So,
you're right.
So here we are to talk about forgiveness and to talk about Where's Michael? But to learn about forgiveness, go to www.whyagain.org. Click on the link that says Start Here, or click on the red and white bullseye on the page, and it'll take you to a page where you can download more information than you'd ever need to get started and eventually, with practice, become a master at forgiveness. And forgiveness is an ancient Aramaic tool that allows me to work with myself. It has nothing to do with forgiving anyone or anything else or even forgiving myself. Forgiveness is a process for dismantling whatever doesn't belong in my energy system. And the tool for that in this work is the Reality Management Worksheet, which is made available for free off the website I just mentioned. And you can go there and download Chapter 24 of Michael's book and the most recent version of the 7-Step Worksheet process and 6 audio shows where people are stepped through the process, real people calling in with real problems that have been stepped through the worksheet process. So tap into that process and that tool and apply it to a situation in your life, and then give us a call if you have any questions or testimonials or comments. So did I hear some rustling in the background? Are you there, Michael?
I put Jeannie's microphone on live, so if he's there with her, maybe. Jeannie?
Hey, how are you doing? Michael should be on the phone. He is a 954 number, but he was going to be calling in. He's actually sitting in the car, and Sally and I are sitting in a restaurant. We came over to get some lunch.
Hey there, young lady.
There he is.
Well, my apology. My screen had gone out of my phone, and I've been talking away to myself for the last 5 minutes on mute. What can I say? I'm out of practice.
Well, welcome.
So anyway, thank you, and welcome to you, and thank you for being here. I've been just talking away. I didn't have my speaker on, so I couldn't hear that there was another conversation going on, and as I say, the screen had got out of my phone, and I didn't realize I was on mute. So I'd like to start over again and welcome everybody to the show once again and dedicate our show today to everyone who's ever been touched, not just the veterans, because, of course, they're on the front line of the suffering, the pain, the loss, but to each of their families, to their children, to their parents, to their spouses, to their neighbors, to their friends, to their business associates, and what has been lost, what has been thefted from these young men and young women by this insanity called war on planet Earth, that we've grown up in a culture that believes that it's so necessary and so natural that it's just what you do, and people rush off in some sort of excitement as though it's an adventure to engage in. We spent some time in Sweden recently, and in Sweden they informed us that they were celebrating 200 years of being at peace with their neighbors and the world. And what clicked in my brain is, yes, and here we are in the United States celebrating 200 years of war that's been virtually continuous with our neighbors. And the space that we hold and what we're here to do, and my reason for dedicating it to them, is to hold a space for something different to happen on the planet, that we could actually live truly as this awesome active presence of love that we're designed to live as. You know, we have a simple and experiential definition of a human life, and that is hold a newborn child. And if you've ever held a newborn and you tap into the essence of that newborn, then you know exactly what human life is, and it's awesome, and it's beauty, and it's sweetness, and it's a presence that is indescribable. And the fact that we've come into a world that convinces us to give that up and find something more desirable, like going off for the, you know, the kind of publicity that happens, the adventure of war, for the promise of being all you can be and having to give up everything that you are to be what you are not, is so insane and so bizarre. My input would be that it's time in our culture for enough people to come together who choose to live truly as human beings and choose to forgive from themselves, to remove those things that are based in hostility and fear, until we come to the point where we recognize what the sweet experience of human life is and what it's designed to be. The whole culture has been impacted by this insanity of rage and the belief in enemies and war, so that, unfortunately, many people live and think it natural to be in that insanity. We're here to deliver a different message. It's not only totally and completely unnatural, it's insane. And when we give up the insanity and are restored to our human lives, and what we're here to do is to hold the space, particularly today being Veterans Day, to hold the space for each of those who've had to sacrifice their humanity, that awesome active presence of love, and to acknowledge those who have held to their humanity even when they've been forced into that particular dynamic called war. So we're here to create a salve of healing, a salve of openness in being able to change the internal dynamics that lead us into a world where human life is almost gone. So the restoration of human life becomes the solution. And the key piece in that solution, the key piece in the restoration of human life, is to remove everything that is unlike human life from your structure. And that is, and this may seem impossible, but that is to remove all hostility and fear. Forgiveness has nothing to do with, I let you off the hook for the terrible thing you've done to me. There is no enemy in the world to forgive. There are people who, out of their own lack of human life, do things that perhaps they deserve to be pardoned for. Perhaps they deserve to have us let them off the hook for it. And then, once we've done that, accurately understanding that letting someone else off the hook for what's happening inside of us or in our world is the act of pardoning, it is not the act of forgiveness, then taking the next step, creating enough people on the planet who understand deeply enough that they, when they're in upset, when they're in disturbance, when they're in pain, they take the next step of engaging in forgiveness, and they remove the hostility and fear that holds human life at bay. And as we do that, we taste on deeper and deeper and deeper levels what human life is really about, the sweetness, the beauty, the possibility. We actually just watched a film, which was a very interesting inspiration on the sweet opportunity that we have to live a human life. The film is called About Time. Go and see it. It's really quite powerful. And it's basically the story of a young man who finds out that he has a genetic anomaly where he has the ability to go back in time and change things. And so he practices going back in time and changing things as they're not to his liking until he finally comes to recognize that what he needs to do is taste the sweetness of life that is there before him at each moment, and finally gives up needing to go back and change things because he lives as a human being. He lives as the presence of love, in appreciation, in care, and in concern, not having to do do-over days because he screwed something up. And, you know, it to me, it was a very powerful inspiration. It creates some spaces for looking at family dynamics, of relationship dynamics of parents and children. It's quite a complex film, but quite an inspiration in looking at and appreciating the sweetness, the sweet opportunity that we have as humans, unless we hold other realities as important, which most of us do. Because we've come up in a world of such insanity, of rage and guilt and grief and pain. And our offering to you is that if you hold any of that, then we invite you to step into using a set of tools, applying first century Aramaic forgiveness to remove that which leads you to feel that which is less than the truth about you, less than your true human life. And as you engage in that more and more, tasting the sweetness of the presence of your human life becomes much more important than all the grievances and all the reasons why our mind gives us that we should be in pain or rage or fight or strife or struggle. So we open the space for that healing. We're here to support that. We're here to teach it. We're here to learn it. If it sounds like the impossible dream to you, then we invite you to go to our website and look at the technology that's presented there. It's free, about forgiveness, about how to go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. Our website is www.whyagain.org. And if you look in the upper left-hand corner, well, there's also a red and white target in the middle of the page. If you click on that, it'll take you into a whole set of links, actually several dozen links, but the first links will give you an explanation of how to engage in the process of forgiveness, how to stop letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you and how to go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. People are often shocked when they hear me say, and they say, well, but you're supposed to be the forgiveness doctor, and here you are telling me to never forgive anybody ever again. That's right. Never forgive anybody ever again. Please do not ever do that. But Michael, I thought that's what we were supposed to do. No. If I have someone in my life that's done something that resonates fear, grief, rage, pain in me, and that something is genuinely out of order or genuinely out of integrity, then, yes, we will invite you to pardon them. Call it what it is. If you choose to let somebody off the hook, that's the act of pardoning. And then step inside yourself with the forgiveness process and literally remove the very capacity for rage, guilt, grief, or pain. It's going to take time. It's not an overnight process. We have within us generations and generations and generations. When you look at that story about the in the Old Testament about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years, and when you look at what resolved that wandering in the desert, which is basically nothing but an expression of non-human life pretending it's human. Just because one has a human body doesn't make them human yet. It's when the active presence of love shows up. And if you look at that story about that wandering in the desert, which is just the code word for wandering unconsciously, wondering what end is up, you'll notice the solution was the old generation, they said, had to die off. And that doesn't mean everybody in old physical bodies has to physically die. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. All of the causes held within your own mind need to be removed if your mind is capable of producing hostility and fear and keeping you locked in that desert. Now, of course, you have a mind that lies to you all the time. If that's where you live, you know that it was Charlie's fault or Bill's fault or Mary's fault or Jane's fault or whoever. But you'll also notice that if you've been through it 87 different times with 42 different people, you are the only one that was there every time. The output of your mind is about you. If you live in denial, and our definition of denial, our functional definition is very simple. If I'm in pain or turmoil and I talk about someone else's cause, then I am in denial, and in so doing, I actively dissociate from a part of my own mind. I actively hide the part of me with which I cause my pain. Until I come out of denial, and you can look back as far as 2,000 years ago in the ancient scriptures, they were saying, stop your denial. In fact, in that particular passage, if you look in the book of James where he says, stop your denial, right there in that, almost that exact same passage, it talks about the exact cause of war. And what it says is it is the war within your members. In other words, the war within yourself is externalized into the world. Because forgiveness has been removed from the world, we are at war. We're looking to restore forgiveness so that we can, as human beings, put an end to war and truly live as human beings. So that's our project. Those links on that section of whyagain.org will give you the worksheet process, chapter 24 from the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And there are several radio shows where we walk somebody through the whole process, so you've got several different sets of custom instructions. Each one, you'll learn something a little different. There'll be a shade of meaning different in each worksheet in those six shows that we guide somebody through the process. So we invite you to start to listen to those. They're free MP3 downloads. Learn the forgiveness process, engage in it. And let's just create the space where it's safe for human life to come back to Earth, to truly live as human beings. And so it is delightful to be back on solid ground. We've been in the ocean for the last 13 days. And so landing yesterday morning, and we thank Sally for coming and picking us up at the cruise port in Miami and welcoming us to her home. She and Jeannie, as Jeannie was saying, are sitting in a restaurant right now. I'm sitting in the car doing the show. And we've actually got a film festival happening here in Fort Lauderdale and Pompano. And so you all know that Jeannie and I don't like films, so Sally forced us to go and do a marathon of films today. It's the last day of the film festival. So it's nice to be back on solid ground, nice to be back on the show with a solid connection where I can talk, and if I don't have my mute button on, actually be heard. So thank you all for being with us. And Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
Greatly relieved.
Oh, tell me about that. Am I hearing that you've gotten some opportunities to learn forgiveness?
No, but I'm just, it is so much easier to just sit back and occasionally add a comment than it is to be responsible for the whole show and try and make sure it runs the way Michael would want, because this is that material. So it's a great privilege to have the helm while you're gone, and it's also a great relief to not have to be here exactly at noon and hold on for the whole time until the outro is finished. And so I'm very, very glad you're back.
Well, I certainly appreciate the fact that you did decide to take the helm and that Michelle pitched in to run the switchboard. I understand that Michelle is trying to get Jeannie to retire so that she can continue with that. And so we will call on you often, Michelle. It's very much appreciated. There's no way we could have accomplished what we've accomplished in the last 6 weeks or so. And what we did accomplish was we did create some awesome contacts that I think are going to bear some great fruit from the work in several different countries. And we got some quiet time, some rest time, some writing time. Actually, within the next week, I'll be finished. Jeannie, one of her projects on this trip was the completion of Recipes. And so she's gone through all of that and just handed it off to me. I've got a few minor sections to edit and add to it. And within probably a week to 10 days, it will be at the printers. And so everybody who's been waiting patiently for much longer than they ever should have needed to wait, I hope will be delighted when they finally receive that. I think it'll be worth the wait. We've added actually an extra 3 years of recipes, and the book is up to over 200 pages, and I'm quite excited, and it'll be delightful to get that to the printer and get it into people's hands. So that was Jeannie's project, and I've been working on Laws of Living and doing some writing on Blockage of Truth and several different projects that we got to spend time on, and as well to get caught up. We had a very busy year last year and a very busy summer at Heartland, so getting some quiet time, and we got to do a little bit of playing tourist while we were in several different countries. For those who perhaps haven't been on the show recently, we spent a week in Stockholm, Sweden, did a film documentary there and some forgiveness work, workshops, and then went to Denmark and did a three-day, four-day conference on physics and creativity sponsored by the Royal Academy of Sciences in Denmark, and we're sponsored by the family of Niels Bohr, who's a Nobel Prize-winning physicist who discovered the atom, actually. And so it was quite an interesting time to sit with for several days with and listen to and interact with and have conversations with Nobel Prize laureates and Nobel Prize winners. It was really quite an experience, and we're looking forward to the project that's being worked on there to open up, to bring forgiveness into that community. And so there's lots of exciting things happening there. We got to spend a week in Copenhagen, and then a week in Rome, about 9-10 days in Portugal, and then 13 days crossing the ocean and visiting some of the Caribbean islands to finally get home yesterday. So it's a delight to be here, and we never could have done it without you two, so thank you both.
It was a privilege and loads of fun. So what was the most promising door opening in another country on this trip?
Well, the granddaughter of Niels Bohr, who's a medical doctor in Copenhagen, is working to create a conference sponsored by the Royal Academy of Scientists, physicists, to bring, you know, basically the physics of forgiveness forward in through a scientific community. You know, we've developed and come to understand the Aramaic language as a physics language, and so recognizing the dynamics that are in that language and bringing it forward into the human realm rather than applying it to things like let's create atom bombs and such, let's look at the beneficial side of the physics of forgiveness and how we can literally change, you know, in Niels Bohr's case, it was the atom. In our case, it's Adam. Adamos means red clay, carbon-based memory, and everything that's contained in it. So shifting the dynamics and the energetic patterns within ourselves through forgiveness. And so I'm really looking forward to that manifesting, that door which is opened, finally bringing about. There are several people from the Royal Academy who now have a copy of our book and reading it, and so we're just that's very hopeful. And then also in Sweden, we you know, our book has been published and printed there, and the printer has sort of put it on the back shelf, and so we're working on a project of perhaps the alternative medical magazine that we did the documentary for. We're going to be checking with them to see if they are interested in us providing a monthly contribution to their magazine and having the book available more widely in Sweden, getting it out there and making it more publicly known there. And so that's pretty exciting. And they're probably the two most promising things that are happening out of this journey.
Sounds delightful.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together, and of course, we could never do it without a lot of help from our friends. You know, I knew years ago there was a time when I realized that if I wanted to become a full-time student of this work, I needed to become a full-time teacher of it. And I don't even remember who it was that I first heard say it, but somewhere along the way, someone said that one of the keys was to take on something bigger than you are, so that your life doesn't become about you. In fact, I remember getting a greeting card from someone that said, a way to create solutions in your life, and you open it up and it says, don't get personally involved. And so when we choose to take on something bigger than we are, and certainly taking on the task of taking especially the first century Aramaic understanding of forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being, is a bigger task than certainly we are. And the number of people who've chosen over the years to do the work, to pitch in and support the work, to do things like you and Michelle are doing, Dr. Tim, to assist and to support it. You know, this we're visiting with Sally, and she's the one who inspired Jeannie to do the Women Healing Women retreat that starts next Thursday, and has graciously chosen to host us in Pompano Beach in her new home, which is very comfortable, and we certainly appreciate the welcome. We're going to be here for probably a few weeks, a couple of weeks. I'm not sure just to what our time frame looks like as yet. And so we certainly welcome anyone who's ready to take on a project bigger than they are in order to start to see life from a different perspective than the life that most of us have been trained to, that's self-centered and is about me and about me and about me, and recognize that there's something bigger here. And, you know, to take on a project like, and I'm serious when I say this, of literally healing the dynamics behind war on planet Earth. I mean, that's huge. Am I going to do that by myself? No, but I'm going to inspire enough people to help us that we'll accomplish that. And we're going to do that by opening a space for human life to show up so deeply in each person's life who chooses to do so, to take part and do something bigger than themselves, that each person creates such a light that people turn to it and at first usually cannot fathom it. but know they want some and to move in that direction. So that's kind of what we're here to do, and it's quite delightful and awesome to watch how it's moving forward. You know, the book has been translated now into, I don't know, 7 different languages, and each person that's translated it, except for the Swedish edition, has come forward just of their own volition and said, I want this in my language for my friends, for my family. Can we translate it? And if you go to our website, you can find the book, a free download, of course, the English version, Spanish. The Swedish publisher wouldn't let us put it online free. They were afraid they'd lose money. So if we're going to try and see if we can get the copyright back from them. As I said, they put it on the back shelf, so it's not really moving for them. So if we can get the copyright back, then we'll put the Swedish version online free as well. And, of course, there's German, there's Russian, there's Farsi. Thai has started French. There's some of the French work. And so things are moving forward. There's some folks in Copenhagen that are working on Danish translation of some of the material. And so, you know, there are all the things that we're juggling aside from just being out on the road and out in the world running a center, keeping that going. And, of course, there's been a huge uplift in that regard. If you've looked at the website lately, there's a link that says 3HC on it. And the project is one where several people who were at intensives this summer have come together and chosen to take the load of carrying Heartland and keeping the property maintained and keeping things moving there off of Jeannie and my back so that we can focus on some of these bigger projects and help to create that foundation, to solidify that foundation for us, with us, to make it a place. You know, and I had never really wanted to run a center. It's a huge task. If you look at the history of centers, over 90% of them close in the first year, sometimes because of finances, and nobody will ever know what it's taken in that regard. But oftentimes it's more the human, or should I say the non-human dynamics that show up that cause centers to close, the insanity, the grief, the rage. And each year, you know, when a new group of people comes, when we start to deepen the process and what comes up and what shows up and the resistance and the struggle and the fight and the hostility and the craziness, aside from taking care of the mechanics of a facility. And I had said on the show back a few months ago that I was thinking about letting Heartland go because it was just too much with all the other things that were going on. And so some of the folks at, and Bill in particular, Bill Costantino, thank you for stepping in there, said, you know, I'm willing to head up a project and be part of creating a support team that helps to fund the physical plant of Heartland, helps to take care of the maintenance and upgrading the buildings and keeping things moving forward and do the physical work of it so that platform is there. Each time over the years that I've thought about letting it go, it's always been, the guidance has been, but you need a space for people to come and deepen their experience. Doing a series of a half a dozen, 2.5-hour workshops in the city is great and gives people a taste, but there needs to be a place to deepen that experience and the practice. And so where a few months ago I was thinking that we might let that go, fortunately, there's a whole crew that stepped up. If you look on the website and click on the link, you can see a little bit of the story of the project, and that's something that's in development. And there's also a link there if you choose to donate to Heartland. You can click that link and make a donation that will go to supporting Heartland, of course, supporting our work. And if you choose to designate it as such, 50% of whatever donation you choose to make will go toward a credit for an intensive. So you can take a look at that Heartland link on the website as well. So lots happening and lots of process, lots to move forward. Michelle, do you have anything to share with us today?
I do. I wanted to comment that I appreciated your opening intro today. After we could hear it, it was awesome chat in the chat room. Keith and I were talking about both being veterans. And when you were speaking, I was considering how bittersweet it is in the fact that it was, for me, a means to an end. And yet, what would it have been like to not have that opportunity, so to speak. And what would the world be like that wasn't something I could have chose?
I'm
breathing. It kind of went on to say that healing the planet is a tall order, and that you've got the right frequency to do it, Michael.
Well, we're definitely on it, and it's something that is possible. You know, I think the first step in being able to bring something about is to understand that it's possible and to have a vision of what is possible. And I invite everyone to see this movie, About Time, because it gives a very sweet vision. You know, this guy goes through his life and he thinks it should be changed, so he goes back and he changes. He has this ability to travel in time and change things in his life, and until he finally decides to just taste the nectar of his human life and the sweetness of it, and there's nothing to change. And when we shift and change what's going on inside of ourselves, more and more people, I think, are going to have the opportunity to recognize that and really, truly live a human life. You know, one of the we watched a film, and Judy, maybe you can kick in. Maybe you remember the name of it. When we were in Sweden, one of the films that we'd taken with us, I'd ordered it online, was about the a veterans program of healing warriors. And it's interesting, about 5 or 6 years ago, and I've never been into the prophecy angle of things, but one of the quatrains in Someone came to a workshop and said that one of the quatrains in Nostradamus' prophecy said that the warriors would go to Heartland to heal. And that's one of the things that we've held, and we've had many veterans there over the years who've moved through some incredible, incredible traumas. One of the first ones that I remember was actually the year before we started Heartland. We were doing a 30-day intensive up in Coldwater, Michigan, a little town just outside of Coldwater at a retreat center. And there was a young man who had been in Vietnam, and he was born and raised in the Catholic faith, and of course, thou shalt not kill is a pretty strong command there. And he was drafted to Vietnam, and he went to his mother and said, "Mother, I can't do this. I can't kill." And his mother came back with, "Son, it's your duty. It's your duty to kill." And he went to his priest, and his priest repeated virtually the same words, "It's your duty." Like, how insane is this conversation? "It's your duty to kill," says his priest. So he goes to Vietnam, and he, in that experience, the first man that he killed, he ended up with this man's wallet. And in his wallet was a picture of the man's family, his wife, and I don't remember whether it was 1 or 2 children, and his membership card in the Catholic Church. You want to talk about having to process a trauma and pain at being betrayed, at being forced by a parent and a priest that you're supposed to kill because some moron, some non-human at some level says, "I want somebody's property and I want you to go kill them so we can take it." And this whole, you know, now, of course, military says, "Oh, we're only here to defend you." But you notice that every time it's another military that we're defending against. And when you let minds based in hostility and fear take over the decisions as to whether to go to war or not, you know you're always going to go to war. You know there's always going to be more money to be spent. And you know what the result's going to be. And it doesn't matter who it pits against who. But in this video on healing the warriors, one of the things they talked about was the military's training to hate. You know, in the last few years in this country, we've passed laws, so-called laws, against hate crimes. And I think this may be one of the keys to putting an end to this military insanity, is to teach someone to hate so that they can be forced to kill is a crime. It is a crime, and we need to deal with that crime through healing. And so that's all part of the dynamic that we need to clean up on this planet to get through to living truly as the human beings we're designed to live as. Are you breathing, Michelle?
Yes, I'm breathing. I'm part of a veterans court that's established in East Lansing, Michigan, modeled off one in New York, and there are more and more springing up, and basically veterans who come back without getting the services and support they need to remove that hate that you're talking about, generally act out in society, drug and alcohol crimes, poor behavior. And so my partner, I run a support group for these veterans while they move through the court system on probation. And so I was thinking about Wednesday, what I'm going to share with them.
Yeah, what would it be like if we didn't have to heal hatred because there was no training in hatred? Well, of course, Michael, then we couldn't do war. Oh, what a novel idea. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, what if they gave a war and nobody came? And to, you know, if you look in our country, the level of suicide in returning veterans from the Middle East today is just outrageous.
They don't talk about it that much. They try to hide that.
Yes, it's kept quiet. You look at the number of Vietnam vets that are in prison in America, and it's insane. You look at the number of homeless, the kinds of diseases that are being played out, and the lack of care of, you know, we have these military leaders who stand up and say, yay, rah, rah, boy, are you guys ever great, but don't ask us for any support because we've destroyed your life, you know, like, too bad. You know, we don't have anything to do with it. We're just going to make sure that you don't get the benefits if we can help it. And all of that becomes a fit subject for forgiveness. All of that, the insanity of a mind that would set that up as the authority, is simply something that needs to be healed. There's a lot of resentment, a lot of hatred toward those authorities, and those who have resentment and hatred and think it's about the authorities in their lives are in denial and dissociation, and what they need to do is be healing their hatred and resentment and come to a space where we can live with each other as human beings, where we can bring the presence of love forward, even for those authorities who lead us into insanity, becomes a part of the puzzle of how to unwind this tradition that goes back thousands of years of hatred and violence and viciousness, and calling that hatred and violence and viciousness heroism. Excuse me, folks, it's not heroism. Killing somebody is not heroism. It never has been and never will be. Now, you can train carbon-based memory that's it, and then you can get young men and young women who go, rah, 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 I'm going to go kill it. I'm going to be a hero. And they've been lied to. They've had a word link put into their minds that is as destructive as the word link. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about Karen Carpenter. If you remember, Karen Carpenter was a fabulous, awesome singer. I don't know what her wealth was, but multi-million, I presume, with the kind of record sales she had. And she starved to death. Why did she starve to death? I'm sure she had a full refrigerator, or if she didn't, could have. How is it that she starved to death? Well, it seems that, like many who are bulimic, there's a belief that food means ugly fat, and if I'm ugly, I'm not acceptable because I'm a body. and I don't know who I am as love. And so that word link, here's someone who has their behavior so altered that they literally, with all the food in the world available to them, literally starve to death because two words, three words are hooked up in their minds. Food equals ugly fat. That's called a word link. If you put a word link and you take a look at these commercials that go on television and you look at how this guy carrying a gun with the uniform on is a hero, a word link totally changes the attractiveness of behavior. And young men and young women go off and do that. And it's too late once they discover how insane it is, because all of your rights are gone once you sign that piece of paper that says, I'm volunteering. Yes, it's a voluntary army. But once you volunteer, just try to stop following orders. Try not to kill, and you're dead. And it's all because of a word link that's put in the mind. You look at the number of little kids today that are being brainwashed with that. They look at the advertisements. They go to the movies and they see advertisements of be all you can be. And this is heroism, carrying a gun. And, of course, the purpose of the gun is for nothing else but to kill. To kill another cell in your own body. And if you listen to Albert Einstein, he says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. The person that is killed is a part of one's own body, a part of one's own structure. But word links put into the mind prohibit that. We understand that now. So we can start to change those word links. And we can start to put into young men and young women's minds, living is the active presence of love. That's heroism. Facing a world of rage and guilt and grief and fear and peer pressure that says, let's go sign up and kill, and saying, no, I'm going to stand up for human life. I'm going to stand up for healing. I'm going to stand up for love. In fact, instead of taking guns and going to that other country so we can steal their property by killing them, I'm going to go and I'm going to lead a team that takes forgiveness to that country, that shows those who are the so-called enemy, the military mind, the same military mind here that says, but we have to do it in order to protect ourselves. Notice the same people. The same young men and women brainwashed on the other side are saying, we have to do this in order to protect ourselves. Excuse me. Let's figure this out, folks. Let's wake up. It's time to put an end to the insanity and stop training young people to kill. Stop this game of hostility and fear by healing, by having enough individuals who will take on the task, will take responsibility and say, I'm going to do something about it. You know, when I first, you know, the place that inspired me to move in this direction, actually my son is now 34. And when I learned that I was going to have a son, actually I didn't know it was going to be a son, it was just going to be a child, I looked around 34 years ago and said, this world is insane. If somebody doesn't do something, there isn't going to be a place for my kids to grow up. I was the only one there, so I said, I'm going to do something. This work is what I've done about it. And if enough people choose to come on board and change the game, we can change the game, individually and collectively. Yeah, to have the courage to be a real hero and stand in the face of those who would say, that's insane, that's impossible, you just have to get a bigger gun and a bigger bomb and a bigger weapon and then we'll be safe, are just sucking the life and the money out of our pockets like you can't imagine. Wake up call. What if we approached the negotiating table as the active presence of love? Well, yeah, but they are the problem. Yeah, right. And you notice that the people on the other side are saying to themselves, what if we approach the negotiating table as love? Well, yeah, but they're the problem. The belief in a they that is the problem, is insane. And these are ideas that control, because of the way language has been used, they literally control the way our minds work. And when you start to break these word links and you start to reestablish word links that are accurate and true and in harmony with the truth of who we are, then we can change the game. If we don't understand how the game is set up, if we don't understand what's at the root of the insanity, of course it's not correctable. Fortunately, we have been able to decode enough of the original Aramaic teachings of the man named Yeshua that we know how it works. We may not know completely how it works yet. We're still learning every day. But we know enough about how this human mind works, and fortunately we now understand what forgiveness really is and how to change the content of our minds until we have a mind that supports us living as love. We have that as a real, true possibility now. And one of the songs we heard several times in the as we were cruising back from Portugal in this trip we just did was the song, Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. And each time I heard that song, it just reinforced, and I really heard, you know, here we have millions of people playing the game of I'm going to do it my way because I've got it figured out, and if I need to get a bigger gun in order to force everybody else to go along with it, well, that's what I'm going to do. But if you replace those words with, there's someone who actually understood how it worked and gave us the tools for doing it. For instance, the first law was Rachma, have a condition of love in your mind and take responsibility for maintaining that condition no matter what anybody else does. Then you'll be doing it his way. And as you do, everything changes. So fortunately, we've been able to uncover that original Aramaic technology that was degraded by the Greek translations, and the real tools that are there are what we're looking to make available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So that's what we're here to do, and Jeannie's standing outside the door here with her phone, and I just wonder if she wants to say anything about the Healing Women Loving, or the Women Healing Women Retreat.
Well, it's starting next Thursday, the 21st, and we have 13 ladies, counting myself, and it's going to be a powerful 4 days.
And Michelle.
And there's still, yes, and Michelle, counting her too, and Sally. And Lenore's coming to do the food, and it's just going to be an awesome 4-day weekend of some powerful women, and we're going to be working with healing internal dynamics that aren't just that women experience in D.C., but it's just going to be a safe space where we can just feel them and do personal work. And it's going to be really, I'm looking forward to it. And there are, you know, we have said 12 people, but we can make room if there's anybody else that, you know, has decided that they would like to join us for that. It starts Thursday at 5 o'clock, and we'll be done around 1 o'clock on Sunday. And it includes all of your meals, accommodations, and all the workshops, and it's $4.95. And open the door for a couple more to come in.
Is the workshop actually full? Is the workshop actually full, or did you still have space for one more person?
That's what I was just saying, that, you know, if somebody else wants to come, you know, we can put some more air mattresses down in the living room or whatever and make some room.
Cool. Awesome. Well, it's going to be quite a happening, and I've been privileged to watch Jeannie as she's prepping for this, and it's going to be a pretty incredible event. In the meantime, Dr. Tim, Michelle, any other thoughts or comments? We're down to about 4 or 5 minutes.
I'm just curious.
I know you've done a lot of work with Beth.
I don't have access to the board.
There are some people with their hands up. I'm not sure if you wanted to take a call or not. As far as the women's workshop, I am thinking that it will be a great day because my plan's getting there early, and so me and Jeannie can co-host the show together maybe.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Tim, you've done a lot of work with veterans. Do you have any thoughts or comments being Veterans Day to add to what I've been saying?
Well, I think the biggest thing I would add is that, especially in the past, 6, 8 years, however long I've been doing this work with the worksheet process, that a number of veterans have benefited And they'll have a need at certain points, depending upon the kind of traumas they've been through, for some other specific trauma reduction work, perhaps still point breathing, perhaps some of the other techniques that have come into use in the past 15 years. But when that's out of the way, this worksheet process and the Mind Shifters tool and the still point breathing are just absolutely transformative. So for anybody who's listening who knows a veteran, please feel free to refer them to this work or introduce them to it yourself, because it's amazing what we can let go of when we realize we have the tools and that we're the ones creating everything we're carrying around in us from our past. We're still holding on to it, and when we learn to let go and we've got specific tools like forgiveness for dismantling it, miraculous things happen.
You know, Tim, we were in Hawaii, and I know you've heard this story before, but it just occurs to me to share it, and the power that it can be for any individual who chooses to introduce and support someone in using the tools. But Gene and I were in Hawaii back about 5 or 6 years ago, and we did a series of workshops, and we were going to be in several of the islands. And the first place that we spoke was Unity in Diamond Head, and they asked us if we'd come back and do another series. So 6 weeks later, we did a second series there, and the day we started that second series, we had three people come to us who said that when they came to the first workshop 6 weeks earlier, they were planning on committing suicide. And each of the three of them realized the reason they were planning on committing suicide was because they held realities in their minds that they just didn't know how to cope with, how to deal with. And we've got the tools to support people in getting rid of those realities. If you know someone who's suffering in that way, just sit them down and do a worksheet with them. You don't have to be an expert at it. If you can just take them through each step of the worksheet, there are miraculous things that will begin to happen in those minds. And you don't know. You might be the one who prevents that next suicide. And you don't have to be an expert at this. A compassionate space of love and support, and just saying, here, how about trying this with me? How about sitting with this tool? And let me just support you going through this step-by-step process. You will be amazed what you see happen. Absolutely amazed. And so we're just delighted to have everybody on the team that's here. We're down to just a few seconds left. We will be doing next Saturday, or pardon me, this coming Saturday, if you're in the Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami area. We're going to be in Hollywood at 1901 Harrison from 1 till 5 o'clock doing a free open Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. So anybody that's in the Hollywood area, we'd be delighted to have you come and join us. And we, of course, have our summer season set up for next year. You can check online our web schedules there, our schedules on the web for our summer intensive programs. And we look forward to getting to share these tools with each and every one of you on a personal level. And my apology for not taking any calls today, just kind of playing catch up from being gone for, almost 6 weeks. And so tomorrow we'll be ready to start right out with some questions and see how we can support each of you individually. In the meantime, we appreciate you. We hold the space and invite you to create the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.